From Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. Indonesia and Japan cooperation on low carbon projects highlight the important role of the private sector in mitigating the impacts of climate change. Ihsan Syaputra has the detail.
Indonesia and Japan are accelerating cooperation on low-carbon projects through the Joint Crediting Mechanism, SIEM. At a forum on promoting business engagement and matching in Jakarta on Thursday, Assistant Deputy Minister for Multilateral Economic Cooperation of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Ferry Ardianto, emphasized the strategic role of the private sector in adopting low-emission technologies while simultaneously supporting export competitiveness and achieving national climate targets.
Government cannot go alone to address the adverse and massive impact of the rising of global temperature, but require broader participation from every component in a nation. Private sector can play an important role in mitigating climate change since they have the most potential to implement technology.
Ferry described GCM mechanism as a bridge for technology transfer, private sector participation, and innovative financing with 60 ongoing projects. He stated that the adoption of low-carbon technology is now a business necessity in line with the export market demands and the increasing prevalence of environmental, social, and governance practice.
Let me emphasize that Indonesia views this forum as not only a business meeting platform, but also a strategic milestone in advancing our bilateral cooperation under the Paris Agreement while unlocking real economic benefits for our people.
The Joint Crediting Mechanism is a bilateral scheme that facilitates the installation of low-carbon technologies in partner countries with the aim of reducing carbon emissions, enabling both countries to meet their greenhouse gas reduction contribution targets. In Indonesia, the mechanism is recognized as equivalent to the Indonesian Emission Reduction Certification through the Mutual Recognition Agreement, which has been in effect since October. Ihsan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government considers Gamescom to be a pivotal moment to open up opportunities for international cooperation and strengthen the Indonesian gaming industry on the international stage. Rizka Fadila has the detail.
The Minister of Creative Economy, Teuku Rifki Harsha, stated that President Prabowo Subianto has designated seven priority subsectors of the creative economy, including gaming, as one of the main focus out of total 17 subsectors. According to him, participation in Gamescom is a strategic step for Indonesia to open up global cooperation opportunities and strengthen the position of Indonesian game developers. He stated this while attending Gamescom 2025 held in Cologne, Germany, as quote from his personal social media account on Thursday. Gamescom is the world's largest video game and interactive entertainment exhibition held annually in Cologne, Germany. It brings together the international gaming community and the entire industry.
President Prabowo has instructed that there are seven creative economy subsectors that are a priority. One of 17 subsectors, one of them is games. So from August 20th to 22nd, there is something called Gamescom, the world's largest event for the gaming ecosystem, held in Cologne, Germany.
During the event, Indonesia showcased a special pavilion to highlight Gamescom come as an important opportunity for Indonesia to showcase the potential of national game industry in the international market.
Ini kita ada di Pavilion Indonesia, kerjasama.
Today we are at the Indonesian Pavilion, a collaboration between the Ministry of Creative Economy, the Ministry of Trade, the Ministry of Communication and Digital, and the Jakarta Provincial Government. And of course, there was also support from the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin and the Indonesian Consulate General in Frankfurt. As a great opportunity, let's support Indonesian game developers, Indonesian games, Indonesian game workers, and the Indonesian game ecosystem to grow even bigger and go global.
The Ministry of Creative Economy affirms its commitment to continue supporting the strengthening of the national gaming ecosystem through data-driven policies. Teuku Rifki emphasized that target regulation will ensure the Indonesian game industry can compete globally while also creating more jobs. Rizka Fadila, Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, this is 3 p.m. Western Indonesia time, or GMT plus 7. It means that we are entering Indonesia today's broadcasting, not only on voinews.id or RRI Digital, but also on RRI Net, on rri.co.id or UCTV. With me, Rahma, accompanying you on this fabulous Friday, August day 22. You can share with us about your story of the day or your plan this weekend to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, or reach us on WhatsApp +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130, or on the chat feature on RRI Digital. In the meantime, we've got this Indonesian young bride talent, Tiara Andini, Flip It Up.
I let you say one, but if you say two, I'm counting to three and I'm coming for you. And if you run, I know you like games. Don't you be shy, cause I'm coming your way. All you haters, you can say what you wanna. I'll rise higher when you say my name. The rumors of drama, I'ma be fine, baby, I'm okay. Flying by the haters when I try, I go vroom, vroom, vroom. Sending you a message when I'm right. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. I put my middle finger up, I flip it up, I flip it up. When you name me, I'ma be famous, just wait and you'll see. Nah, 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 don't you get me all wrong, just get out of my way. I've been broken since day one, I know I'm not insane. Baby, I'm up high, so don't you waste my time. Cause all you haters can hate me now, but I'm never gonna change.
Flying by the haters when eyes bright, I go vroom, vroom, vroom.
I'm not gonna fake it, so I'll say it to your face. listener and RR Inet viewers, welcome back. Still here in Indonesia today, and right now we've just seen a video about the beauty of natures of Indonesia, and right now we have a special guest that are going to talk about the fun fact about the forest and its preservation. With me right now is Ulis Utami, the executive director of Hutan Indonesia. Hello, Tami, how are you today?
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm fine, and I'm really excited to present Hutan Indonesia today in Voice of Indonesia.
Okay. So, before we start, actually, I've been within contact with Hutan Itu Indonesia with Kadia Fatia before. We talk about a little bit about the forest of Indonesia as well, and but right now we're going to talk about the preservation of forest of Indonesia. So can you tell me a little bit about the Hutan Indonesia to our listener and viewer who don't really know what is it about?
Okay. What should I call the listener from Voice of Indonesia?
You can call...
Just listeners?
Yeah, or? Just listener. You can call it.
Okay. So there's no like special calling.
No, there's no special calling. The special calling is for the animals in the forest.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, listener of Voice of Indonesia. I'm Tami from Hutan Indonesia. I'm really excited to share about Indonesian forest and how we all need to protect and preserve our forest. Because as you know, that the current situation or condition in Hutan Indonesia or Indonesian forest, you should know that Indonesian forest currently still rank the third largest tropical forest in the world after Congo and Brazil. So as for your information, we are still in a good rank for now. The position is still in the third in the world as a tropical forest. And also Indonesia is still at the second rank as the forest with the richest biodiversity in the world. So you can imagine how beautiful, how rich our Indonesian forest. We are the third, we are the second in biodiversity. So as Indonesian, we all must be proud of the wealth of Indonesian forest, because we are all Indonesian really depending to the forest as our source of life. So that's the current condition of Indonesian forest.
Okay, you just answered my first question. Tell me. I was going to ask about that, but you already answered it. So let's move on. You just mentioned that we are the third largest tropical forest in the world, right?
Yeah.
But is it true that Indonesia's forest is the eighth place in the country with the largest forest area in the world?
Yes, that's true. I mentioned about the tropical forest, so we are at the third position, so you can imagine it's just the tropical forest. So we counted all the forest area in Indonesia, we are in the eighth position in the world. So you can imagine with this wealth, we are in the eighth position, how big it is, the impact of the forest to the climate, to the global issue. It is just from Indonesia. So that's why the conservation efforts really need to do in Indonesia to preserve our forest. So the position is still in the eighth rank. It's still maintained, something like that.
Okay, so the eighth largest forest in the world. That is some achievement that you can say that to a listener. Because just like Tommy said, the tropical forest is ranked third. So that means we have a huge amount of forest that is spread out around Indonesia. And speaking of the largest forest in the world, since the forest is so big, does the deforestation usually happens in the forest of Indonesia?
Deforestation, it's something, I think it's kind of sad news, right? Because deforestation, it's something, it always happened like every year in Indonesia. According to the data from the Aulia Nusantara Foundation, because I haven't found any data from our ministry from the last year. So I obtained the data from Aurigen Nusantara Foundation. It mentions that last year, in 2024, the deforestation increased more than 4,000 hectares.
Oh.
So from the previous year. So you can imagine, every year, there's always deforestation caused by many like industrial encroachment, forest fires, and something like that. So it's kind of sad news that it's always happened every year. So I hope that by we raising awareness about deforestation, about forest preservation, the numbers can be decreased the next year. Because last year the number is still increased more than 4,000 hectares. Hopefully the next year will be decreased.
Okay, so I would like to ask again about the deforestation. Does the deforestation rate is currently happening faster than when compared to us planting the trees and keeping the forest alive? Demi.
Okay. So the deforestation, it's something like, what is it? Like we have like reforestation action, all right, for our deforestation. But as you know, deforestation is faster than our action, than reforestation. Because as we know that today, we also face the climate crisis that can be increased our deforestation because of the heat, because of the temperature, and also the temperature can make the forest fire worse and something like that. So deforestation will be faster than our action, actually. So as you know, when we plant one tree, it takes more than 5 years to be a big tree, something like that. But when the forest fire happened, it like wipes out all the trees. So it cannot be compared between the deforestation and the reforestation. Must be faster than deforestation. that's kind of sad news.
But still, you as a community of Hutan Itu Indonesia, there's been a movement that's called Planting a Million Trees movement, contributed to the reforestation of Indonesia. Can you tell us about the Planting a Million Trees movement?
Okay. Yeah, the 1 million tree movements, I think it happens several years ago when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono as a president, he encouraged so many people to plant the trees. And it's a good thing. I mean, like, it's not just a ceremonial when we really plant the tree and monitor them and really taking care of the trees until it really grow into the big trees. So it's a good movement to combat the deforestation and also to reforestation some areas. So it's a good thing. But in Hutan Indonesia, in my organization, we also promoted another initiative. We call it forest adoption. So it's not just planting trees, it's not just ceremonial, but we also encourage people to adopt the tree that's it's already in a conservation area. So adoption or tree adoption means people can adopt a tree in a conservation area, in like what is it, in a village that in a village forest that is really conserved by the local community. So we also help the how the local communities can protect the forest, can protect the tree. So and we are encourage so many people, public, to give them the support what they need to preserve or to conserve this tree. So the tree will be standing inside the forest without the standing inside the forest without like illegal logging, something like that. Yeah. So the local communities will protect the trees and from the illegal logging or forest fire, something like that. So it's not just reforestation. We also have conservation action.
Okay. Tell me before we continue about the discussion of the forest and its preservation, let us listen to this following song to mooden up for our next segment in this interview. Listener, we are still back in this interview with Tommy with from Hutan Itu, Indonesia. Now I want to ask about the tree's adoption. Is it the same like animal adoption where you have a name and certificate to it so that everyone can see that that tree is yours? And what is the impact of adopting that tree?
Okay, yeah, you know, tree adoption is interesting program. Mm-hmm. It's not like we adopt an animal like cat or dogs that we can take them into our house. So basically, tree adoption, we really adopt a tree, but the tree is standing inside the forest, mm-hmm. that is maintained by the local communities as a ranger. So by adopting one tree inside the forest, we give donation for the ranger to do the patrol and to take care of our tree. So we also can see the tree, yes, but we can take them to our house.
Yeah. If I want to take the trees into my house, is it possible?
Oh, you know, yes. Yeah. So we can see the tree. Mm-hmm. If you have budget to visit the forest, you can see the trees. But if you don't have the budget, we also give the adopter like certificate with the tagging, like the geotagging. Mm. So you can like copy or write the geotagging into the Google Maps, and then you can see the tree by the Google satellite. So technology now, it's really amazing, you know. So we can also monitor and see our trees inside the forest by using the geotagging that given by Hutan itu Indonesia in the certificate they received.
Okay, so it is really interesting for a listener. You can now adopt a tree, not just animals.
Uh-huh. And not also adopting trees, not also for you, but also maybe you want to give someone a tree, like your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, so you can give them as a gift, you know. You can give a tree as a gift for someone you love, something like that.
Okay, so it is really interesting. And if I want to adopt a tree, is there ways on step by step on how to adopt it?
Oh, it's really easy. Yeah, you can come to Hutan Itu Indonesia website at Hutan Itu ID, or also you can contact the numbers in Hutan Itu ID Instagram account. There is a number, so you can contact the number directly. It's easy step.
Okay, make sure to check it out and visit the Hutan Itu Indonesia. Okay, so is there any legal action that protects the tree's adoption if there's maybe like an illegal logging where someone is illegally trying to take down the tree? Is there any legal action to protect the trees from being logged?
Okay, so now we talk about regulation. Mm-hmm. Actually, there are so many regulations to protect the forest, right? The government, I believe that the government continues to tighten regulation, increase the like the law enforcement against illegal deforestation. But I want to highlight one of the regulation that is really related to our movement and our campaign. There is one regulation, it's a presidential instruction number 5 from 2019 regarding the termination of the granting of new permits and improving the governance of primary forests and peatlands. So you can imagine this regulation will terminate to granting a new permit and improving the governance. It's really a good instruction from the President Jokowi in 2019. So because to remind people that we need to monitor this regulation. In 2020, along with more than 100 collaborators from many CSO and NGOs in Indonesia, we tried to make a movement or campaign called Indonesian Forest Day. You know, there is no Indonesian Forest Day in Indonesia. We have another many celebration, but we don't have Indonesian Forest Day. So, to commemorate this special moment that President Jokowi assigned this presidential instruction regarding to protect the forest, in 7 August, we celebrate it as Indonesian Forest Day. So I think that's one of a good regulation that we need to keep monitor and also work along the government how to implement this regulation in a good way.
Okay, so there, the regulation is really strong in that one in protecting the trees. And if it's okay to ask, I want to ask, what forest does the tree adoption that is available in Indonesia right now from Hutan itu Indonesia?
Okay, so now we are back to the forest adoption. We have actually this project from Hutan Indonesia is collaborated or working along with local partners. We have so many partners in in Java Island, especially in West Java, in Bogor, in Bandung, and also in Sumatra Island and Kalimantan Island. So we protect the forested area in Bengkulu, in Jambi, in West Sumatra, in West Kalimantan. Basically the tree adoption project is still in the three islands, Java, Sumatra, and Kalimantan. Yeah, we hope if there are more public support, so we can also extend these initiatives to other islands like Sulawesi and Ete and other forested area like in Papua. We are really excited we can extend these initiatives.
Okay, so there are two questions left. And the first one is, what measures should be taken to protect the forest and who should be involved? Is anyone can be involved in protecting the forest, or maybe like, is there a specific type of people that should protect the forest?
It's interesting question.
Okay.
Because when we talk about the forest, sometimes not all the people think that we can do something for our forest. Because the forest issue is really not so popular sometimes, especially in urban area, that we are not really related or we are not seeing the forest every day. So feels like it's not our issue. It's just other issue that for people who lives in the forest. But actually, what happened in the urban area, what we do as an urban people, is also related or impacted to the forest. For example, if we consume more like palm oil, and many things that it's not really good for our environment, it also lead to the deforestation. So just now we are breathing.
Breathing.
We can breathe oxygen, fresh air. It happened because we still have the forest. So imagine if there is no forest, we can absorb the emission from the pollution in urban. I don't know, maybe we need to buy the oxygen to breathe. Yeah. So that's something that it's really related in our daily lives. But sometimes we forget that it is related to the forest. So that's why the forest is sometimes it's not popular, because we didn't realize about that impact. So actually, how to protect the forest, who can protect the forest, it's our responsibility. I mean, all the people responsible to protect the forest. Anyone can protect the forest in their daily life, in their capacity, what they can do in daily life, it also can protect and preserve the forest.
Okay, so everyone is responsible for everyone's health, because if we don't protect the forest, maybe just like you said, we maybe have to buy fresh air to breathe. Okay, so that is a really interesting take. And what can people do is maybe like plant trees in their house, or like plant a garden in their house. Does that help the air?
Okay, so what we can do, actually there are many things we can do. Like in Hutan Indonesia, we have five call to actions.
Okay.
So the first one is the easiest one. So as a urban people or everyone has the phone. We cannot live without the phone. So we can, we can do digital campaign. So everything, so spread the awareness, the story, everything that related to the forest, issue, you can spread it in our social media. So it's the easiest way we can do. It's not just the planting trees. The easiest way is as close as from our phone. So we can do the digital campaign. And the next, if we near the forest, we can take a walk, we can make a trip to the forest so we can really connecting to the nature. And also we can tell the people that the forest is more than just the trees. The forest give us the fresh air, make us relax. It's good for our mental health. We need to experience that so the people can also take a trip to the forest. And the next one, if you know non-timber forest product honey, it's the easiest way. So we can also support the local product from the local communities who sell the honey. By supporting the local community's economy, it also make them empower and make them will protect the forest more, not just cutting the trees, because they can have alternative economy. So we need to support the local communities, but by buying their craft product, honey, or many non-timber forest product. And the next, we can do forest adoption. The project I told that we can do the forest adoption by giving donation from everywhere and anywhere. As long as you have a phone, you can contact Hutan Indonesia and then ask how you can adopt a tree. And the last one is celebrating Indonesian Forest Day in 7 August. So I hope everyone can spread the awareness, and we all once in a year, we can celebrate together the wealth of Indonesian forest in 7 hours.
Okay, Tammy, and the final question. If you could send a message to everyone about saving the forest, what would it be? Make it into a one sentence and make it super epic so that it will be tagged.
So for everyone, let's save the forest because it saves our lives. That's it.
Okay, thank you so much, Tammy, for giving your time to do a special interview.
It's really nice chat. Thank you so much for inviting me to this afternoon talk. I hope it will be important and also raising more awareness to protect the forest.
Yes, I hope that it will be super impactful for everyone who are listening right now. And thank you so much for tuning in this special interview with Tammy from Hutan Itu Indonesia. And always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia for more interesting interviews like this.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. we present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Legendary landscape of the largest crater lake in the world thrives a glorious civilization in North Sumatra. People live colorful lives. Nature continues to fascinate both the locals and visitors from all walks of life. A delightful escape with a sense of adventure. In the hidden paradise of Sumatra, experience the awesome nature and the connection to ancient cultures, like dancing for ancestors, a colorful tradition, joyful yet also potent. Mystifying rituals. People of the mountains. At the coast and in the cities. Remarkable diversity. Multicultural Mecca. Peaceful harmony. Incredible culinary. Astonishing wood carving. This is North Sumatra. The land. Also the people. Friendly faces and genuine warmth. Wonderful Indonesia.
Count remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Herbal drink has been around for centuries. It's made from natural ingredients like turmeric, ginger, tamarind, green chireta, and lemongrass, each with its own health benefits. Some jamu varieties help with digestion, others boost immunity, and some even improve your skin. In Indonesia, jamu isn't just a drink. It's part of the culture. You will see street vendors carrying bottles of fresh jamu, selling it door to door.
Kunyit asem. Terus botol yang sini beras kencur, tapi tinggal sedikit ya. Ini sirih. Ini jahe buat manisnya. Ini kunyit tawar. Di sini pahitan, daun sambiloto.
And the taste? It ranges from sweet and refreshing to earthy and slightly bitter, depending on the ingredients. But one thing's for sure, it's all natural and healthy. So, would you give jamu a try? Who knows, this ancient remedy might just become your new favorite health drink.
Bye, sehat.
Well, listener, that's a wrap Indonesia Today on RRI Net. I'm Rahma Saninaut along with this afternoon's crew. But don't worry, because we still air on VOINews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRI Net.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and